Blog Talk Radio.
You have reached the family of Airwaves America. Renaissance Radio presents the Dave and GC Rock Show. This is a show where we try to think for ourselves and offer thought-provoking, stimulating, informative, and entertaining discussion. Welcome.
What's cracking, my peoples? What's cracking, my peeps? Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Dave and G-Ski Rock Show, presented by Airwaves America. We are in the house. We got a great show for y'all today. Great show for y'all today. What's going on, Dave? How you doing?
Doing good. Doing good.
Yeah, Dave is in the house. Like I said, we have a great show for y'all today. Lots and lots of stuff to talk about because there's lots and lots of stuff going on. But before we do that, we'll get into the normal stuff, tell you where you can find us and all that good stuff. If you want to call into the show, the call-in number is 516-387-1705. Once again, that's 516-387-1705. And all you have to do is hit the 1 on your dial pad to let us know that you have something to say or you got a question. Really easy. All right. If you want to email me, you can email me at gskiairwavesamerica.com. That's G-S-K-I at airwavesamerica.com. If you want to email Dave, you can email him at dave at airwavesamerica.com. D-A-V-E at airwavesamerica.com. That's how we got it going on, and that's how we do what we do. Still working on a website. I know I said it's going to be up, but I'm still working on the website. The website will be, of course, www.airwavesamerica.com, www.airwavesamerica.com. Waves, W-A-V-E-S, America.com. That's how you can find us. And we'll have a link. Once it's up, we'll have a link to the show. So you don't have to do the whole Blog Talk Radio thing trying to find it. We'll have a link to the show right there on the website. So that'll be easy for everybody once I get it up and running. So
probably the way it's going to actually go is in about 6 weeks, we're going to give you a Facebook page to go to. And we'll abandon the website idea because it's, you know, too much work, damn it. Too much work, damn it.
Yeah. But that's all the good stuff to find us. So it'll be easy
other than,
to find
other
us.
Than that, we're hiding, so don't even look. We'll find you. Don't worry.
That's right. That's right. We'll find you. Just like the government. We'll find you.
Indeed. Indeed.
Yeah. So, there has been a lot going on over this past week since we last talked to you guys. Of course, Biden addressed the joint session of Congress. And then after he did that, he came here to Georgia and addressed the people in Georgia. He pretty much gave the same speech he did to the joint session of Congress.
That's the only one they prepped him for.
Yeah, that's the only one they prepped him for. Yeah, he pretty much gave the same speech. So we were listening to a modified short version of his joint speech to Congress. Yeah. Ridiculous.
And there were no hecklers at Congress, right?
No hecklers at Congress. He had a couple of hecklers.
I thought I saw a TikTok or something where there was, you know, some people like busting his balls, and he just stopped talking, and then he kind of went back to his boilerplate announcement over them.
Because they were loud.
I couldn't hear what they were saying.
In private detention.
That's what they were saying?
Yeah. Private jails, private detention centers.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
I thought you said in.
Oh.
So he probably couldn't hear what they were saying, couldn't make out what they were saying. So, you know, as if he'd be able to help them even if he could.
Well, tended that he was going to. He said that he believed in their cause and he was going to do what he can to end private detention so that there's no private detentions in the U.S., which, you know, of course, that's not going to happen. Obama talked about closing down Guantanamo Bay. That never happened.
Yeah.
Speaking of which,
I came across, and I was looking for and found another old promo.
Oh, really?
And it was entitled, "Are We There Yet?" Do you remember that one?
Oh, I remember that.
Every speech that they give, everything, all the utopia is just around the corner. It's just on the horizon. It's just 5 years away. It's just 10 years away. In 15 short years, we will be blah, 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 blah.
Are we there yet?
Yeah, I got sick of hearing it, so I made this promo. You mind if I play it?
Go ahead. Rock out.
All right, here we go.
Tell me, mama, are we there yet? Tell me, mama, are we there yet? Tell me, mama, are we there yet?
We can create a million new manufacturing jobs in the next 4 years. If you believe in a country where everyone gets a fair shot and everyone does their fair share and everyone plays by the same rules.
Tell me, mama, are we there?
Yes, our road is longer, but we travel it together.
Tell me, mama, are we there yet?
But there you go.
Hold on.
Oh.
If you believe, yes, our road is longer, but we travel it together.
Tell me, mama, are we there yet?
I'm gonna keep it open.
Yeah.
Imagine the breakthroughs.
Here we go.
That are on the horizon and just beyond.
Tell me, mama, are we there yet?
America. Journey would be easy, and I won't promise that now.
Tell me, mama, are we there yet?
Yes, our path is harder, but it leads to a better place.
Mama, are we there yet?
Are we there yet?
Not yet.
Are we there yet?
No!
Are we there yet?
It's literally around the corner.
Tell me, mama, are we there yet?
Imagine a world in which hunger is vanquished by crops that don't depend on the soil, water, or fertilizer, or pesticides to thrive.
Are we there yet?
They're just around the corner.
Tell me, mama, are we there yet?
Imagine a world in which nations no longer depend on nuclear weapons for their defense.
Tell me, mama, are we there yet?
There you go. All right. I kept hearing. Yeah, I'm sorry about the little glitch in the middle. The screen went blank, so it shut off, and I didn't realize I had to keep it open. So, but anyways, Yeah, I was always hear, you know, that everything, no matter how many years they've been saying it, it's always, you know, 4 or 5 years away. You know, well, you were saying that 10 years ago, and it's not here yet, you know. So
right.
it's just a big, giant fish hook to hook people into, you know, supporting, oh, that's a great idea. 4 years, whoa! We're going to have flying cars by 2020, you know. Tell me, Mama, are we there yet?
That is a good one. And you were ahead of the game. You were ahead of the game. You got lots and lots of biting on there.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Because he had this one speech where he kept everything was just, you know, just on the horizon and just beyond, or just he said literally just around the corner, you know. And they're always saying it. You know.
Yeah.
but then there was that impassioned Obama. Imagine a world where everyone pays their fair share, and his voice is breaking up and everything. I was like, oh,
yeah.
Please.
You have to upload that to our audio clips.
Yeah, well, I just found it today. I thought of it. I remembered it today. And then I went back into my old hard drive where I stashed all this stuff. Put it on GarageBand, converted it to iTunes, and then from there I have to then convert it to an MP3. So I'm ready to upload it. In order for me to upload it, I got to log in as you.
Okay.
Maybe what I can do is just send it to you, and you can upload it.
Tell
me,
Mama, are we there yet?
Copy that. Let's see here.
Yeah. That'll be good to have to play for the show from time to time.
Oh, the attachment's too long. I'll have to upload it. I'll get it.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll get it.
Do that after the show. Yeah, we're good. Yeah. We're good. Yeah,
but yeah, that was one of my better ones too. That's like the wives one, but I put some time into that one.
I had to chop up
4 or 5 speeches to get all the little clips, you know.
Yeah. Hey, but you are the king of promos, man. You do great promos, so yeah, man, they are to be appreciated. You know, I probably had one promo that I liked a lot. I think it was What's Cracking. And I took samples from everybody as to What's Crack-a-Lackin'. And
I remember that one.
Yeah, I think
you had some Captain G-Ski Rocks and the Captain. You had some Captain quotes.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Captain's still around.
Mm-hmm.
He's still
around.
Tell
him I said hi.
Yeah, I will make sure that I do that. He he's engaged in more stuff now. He does World War II reenactment now also.
Oh wow!
And yeah, he is.
What was his other thing?
He did Civil War reenactment.
Civil War
reenactment. Yeah.
See, my brother goes to all those reenactments. Not, I don't know if he goes to all of them, but he goes to many of them that he can get to. And what he does is he sets up his, you know, an old canvas type tent on the grounds that they're doing. He sets up his shop, and in the back is a cobbler shop, and he makes period shoes.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he makes them the old-fashioned way, you know, with a little hammer and an awl and, you know, stuff like that. And he sells them.
Oh.
And he sells them to those guys that do those reenactment things. And if you know anything about people who do reenactments, you know they are uniform snobs. If it isn't
yes, they
made,
are.
If it's not made the authentic way, if you use the machine – you're a piece of crap.
Yes.
It has to be all hand done. Well, he sells them. He sells them for, you know, probably $300, $400, maybe $500 a pair of shoes, you know.
Right. So,
which is good because, you know, it's a lot of work.
Yeah. That is cool.
But yeah, I mean, he sets up right in the camp as a vendor, but it's like it's all real. You know, people need their shoes fixed, they'll bring it to him, and he'll work out a price and he'll fix their shoes, you know. And then you know, he, of course, he's obviously got shoes and stuff for sale, but that, yeah, that's his that's one of his things that he does. Goes to it's Revolutionary War reenactments that he goes to.
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah.
So
yeah, well, the captain, he does Civil War reenactment, and then he does World War II. He does that on a ship, however. He does that on a ship.
I was going to say, how the hell does he do that?
Yeah.
And what part does he reenact, and who does he play, and how does that work?
Yeah. They do it from the USS Alabama, which is ported in Alabama. I think it's Mobile. I think it's Mobile, but yeah, they go to the ship. It's in a park. They have it. It's in a park. They have the airplanes coordinate with the jets. Well, airplanes, and they go all out, and they have people come on board, and they reenact all this stuff. You know, they go under general quarters, and they really do it. They go all out and do it. And he just recently, he started as a lonely E4, and just recently he was promoted to the commanding officer of the USS Alabama.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Holy, so he's God. he's now the commanding officer of the USS Alabama. And yeah, they do reenactments, I think every 2 or 3 months. And they do it year round. So yeah, they do it every 2 or 3 months. And yeah, they get down to get down. Yeah, he drives down to Alabama, and yeah, they do their thing. It's a pretty wonderful thing to watch. The Civil War reenactment, however, they've kind of cut back on it because, you know, about everybody's going crazy over Civil War statues and all this other stuff. Oh, it's racist, so we got to take them down. So a lot of the parks and stuff that they've been doing it have restricted them so much that, you know, they really don't bother to do some of them now. I mean, they used to do a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why they just probably moved on. All right, let's do World War II. I mean, until they shut those down.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
I mean, they have everything out there. They got guys on horses. They break up the cannons, and really do it. And
they get down with the get down.
Yeah, they get down with the get down. It's a wonderful thing to see. And some of the parks that they're doing it have restricted them, you know, talking about the loud noises and all this other stuff, and
it's a boom.
Yeah.
What's going on over there? Oh, it's a Civil War reenactment. Oh, okay. Well, who's bothered by a cannon? Unbelievable.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's really crazy. But anyways, me and the captain speak every single day because we work at the same place too. So, I mean, we speak every single day. And so I'll let them know that the fam said hi.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And, yeah. Do our thing. All right. Well, anyways.
On with the show.
On with the show. I guess we're going to continue to talk about this more and more and more because, I mean, it's never ending. But, you know, the voting thing in Georgia. We can talk about the voting thing in Arizona, or we can talk about what's going on in Michigan. Dave has put some links in the chat, some stuff that he's run across, and it's very interesting stuff. So I would, if you guys are in the chat, I would go to the chat, click on those links, and check that stuff out. It's some really, really important stuff. It's good stuff. It's stuff that...
I'll just talk about it in case there's people listening to this later are not going to be able to go to the chat. You know what I'm saying? So the one topic I texted G-Ski that I'd like to at least talk about, because it's not something I'm hearing on the top of the hour news. It's not something I'm hearing any buzz about. You know, real buzz. It would make the radio that I listen to, you know, it's the old Rush Limbaugh show while I'm driving, and they have a top of the hour news. It happens to be Fox News. Well, you'd think that they'd be putting something, you know, about the Arizona election audit. And there are apparently a lot of people who are, on the left that are scared to death to let this go. The Democrats in Arizona, they petitioned a judge, or they tried to get a judge. They sued to try to get a judge to put a pause on this audit. And the judge said, yeah, sure. Yeah, that's no problem. No problem at all. You'll have to pay a $1 million bond. And I'll put a pause on it. And they kind of looked at each other, and they were like, "Well, yeah, they don't really have the million." So on with the show as it happened, which I thought was awesome, you know. I think what it's going to come down to, whatever the results are. I mean, because it's almost like I already know what the results are. We just need to get this out. In a way, in a credible way, that people would be like, oh shit, they did that, you know? And you got to have somebody with balls enough to do it. That's kind of where I'm at. You know, somebody has to have the balls to unravel the entire fabric of lies. And there's a lot of them. And I want to go. I just stumbled on something else in Michigan that I put that one in the chat. Somebody knows something. You know what I mean? I've said that how many weeks now? Somebody knows something. Okay.
Right.
The AP News put an article out, and I kind of copied and pasted a poll quote. It says the Senate can't overturn the results of the election, but Republicans who control the state Senate say this audit is needed to restore voter confidence and help them craft changes to state election laws.
Right.
The Senate Democrats call the audit an effort to perpetuate, air quotes, the big lie, which is what they call Trump's insistence that he only lost the election because of election fraud. Well, what else would they say? You know what I mean? That's all they got. Oh, it's a lie. Oh, the big lie. The big lie. He lost because of election fraud, period. this election audit is a way to credibly expose that. Apparently, Rachel Maddow is melting down. Her quote is, and this is in the Washington Examiner, "This is a ridiculous story that will become very dangerous in the long run. It will become a lie that the craziest part of the pro-Trump conspiracy theory world will try to live on and build on for a long time to come." Screw you.
Right.
If it's true, you know, And I remember hearing rumors of this, and I hear it, you know, it's bubbling again, you know, some little TikToks, you know, here and there. Apparently, before the election, Trump commissioned like a paper company or something to put a specific watermark on the ballots that would be legal. And anything that came in without those watermarks is not a valid ballot. You know what I mean?
Right.
I've seen, you know, there's a live stream, okay, of this audit. There's a few different cameras, a few different angles. You can watch people audit these votes. And one of the things that they're doing is they are exposing these ballots to UV light to see if there's like a watermark or something on there. So
right.
Let's hope that, you know, he was that far ahead of him and that all that rumor is true. I don't know. You know what I mean? It's just hearsay. I've seen the, you know, makeshift cardboard boxes shielding a UV light where they would roll the paper one end to the other through the cardboard box. So it's not like, you know, they have, you know, specialized equipment. They just need a UV light that would isolate the UV light. So they just shield it with a, you know, a cardboard box type of thing. That
right.
Makes sense. It makes sense to me that, you know, why spend, a $1 million on a UV light thing that would, you know, that a tunnel or whatever, you know. I'm sure they could get more expensive ones. However, they're on a budget, and this isolates that UV light quite fine. So anyway, you know, that's one of the things that's going on. I don't have any conclusions as of yet, and I don't know if and when there will be anything.
Yeah, right.
But I've got a couple. Couple of German shepherds that are barking.
Yeah, that's mine.
Oh, okay. All right.
Let me do this. I'm gonna mute myself, but go ahead.
All right. That's fine. I'm gonna play a TikTok. I can't remember what exactly is on it, but I said those ones that I sent to you. And
The 2020 election audit results are coming out, and here is what they have to say so far. According to Look Ahead America and the Voter Integrity Project, they've already identified 12,547 illegally cast votes, and they're only partway through the audit. Look Ahead America has currently identified 6 categories of illegally cast ballots. So far, they've only gone through the first 3, that being early absentee ballots cast by people who are illegally registered, people who are permanent residents out of state who may be moved in state to vote, and people who are registered out of state to vote. Looking at their report, their first category has really no flaws at all, but the second two has 67% accuracy, and the third one, 17% accuracy. That's kind of bad. Keep in mind that 5 months after the election, there are still 355,000 ballots that lack the legal chain of custody documentation. I very much look forward to seeing the rest of the Georgia audit, as well as the other swing states, as to what their audits come up with.
Okay, so that's one of the things that, you know, some people on TikTok are really following this closely. When I come across them, I kind of like, you know, save it aside so I can refer to it a little bit later. Another one is... Right.
Arizona Secretary of State Katie Hobbs is being accused of receiving funding from George Soros and Hillary Clinton for her campaign for the elections of 2020.
By digging into the financial disclosures for her political campaign, one thing is clear. Katie Hobbs is supported and paid for
by the most radical left-wing extremists alive today, including Hillary Clinton, Tom Steyer, and none other than billionaire George Soros himself.
Oh, the web we weave. Arizona.
So that, and we've talked about this one, is the what was known as the Secretary of State's project. So the Secretary of State are the people in each state that count the votes. So George Soros, you know, kind of backed up and said, okay, well, how do we need to make this? How do we, what do we need to do that? What do we need to have that? And in how many states do we need to do that? And how much money do you need from me? And, you know, that's kind of where that went. Back in the Obama years, that was a thing that, and we talked about this too, Aaron Klein kind of brought that to my attention. He was a talk show host out of Tel Aviv in Israel, but he followed American politics. And he, you know, he's an American citizen. He just happened to live in Tel Aviv because he's Jewish. So, I mean, he followed all that stuff. And he would talk to terrorists, and he would call them up, and he would interview them and stuff like that. But that made him kind of unique and cool. But what he also came up with, you know, quite a few things that are on the left, where I think he wrote a book, and it was like all the dots that are out there, he connected them and exposed them. If you, I forgot what the name of his book was. He wrote a whole book on it. And all of the interwebs of you know, left wing foundations and how they operate and how they move around and stuff like that. So let me just check. I want to just check another TikTok thing here and see what I. Maricopa results part two. What's that one? All right, let's see.
Voters.
Here we go.
There's the dead one.
Yeah, 150,000 votes with no names on, but from the mail-in, with no name or address. Then they found exactly 2,000 with names on, with no addresses, and not on the electoral roll. They found 18,000 votes from non-citizens. And 5,700 out-of-state votes. So there's 254,722 possible illegal votes. And Biden's victory was by 10,000. And it's interesting that all these possible illegal votes all only have one name on, which is Biden. I mean...
Shocking. It's just shocking.
Yeah, you couldn't make it up.
No.
So if you didn't catch that, you know, 254,000 possible illegal votes. In other words, if they didn't have the watermark, or if they didn't have the right name on them, or if they had a name with no address, all of the regulations that should have been followed, they were just allowed to come through. And that was one of the things that the Supreme Court should damn well have taken up, where the U.S. Constitution says that the state legislatures set the laws in which electors are counted and vote, you know, so electors are counted. Anything below that, the state legislature sets all how that's done. Ultimately, the main goal is to count the electors. Each state has so many electors. And it's based on what their representation numbers are for the House and the Senate, and it's equal to that. So if you're in a state where you have six total House representatives and two senators, you get eight presidential electors, basically. So the way each state sets their own election laws, and they I think I went through this last week. Basically, whatever needs to be set to properly count the number of presidential electors, that's set by the state legislature. Well, the laws on the book by the Arizona state legislature, by, like I said, the Pennsylvania state legislature, the Michigan state legislatures. Those all had like fail safes built in, like and even in Georgia, where, you know, if you're going to get an absentee ballot, you need a reason. Well, they let it go without a reason. Well, if you're going to mail in a ballot, you've got to have an address, and they let them go if they didn't, like this guy was just saying. They let them go if they didn't have, if the same name was on a whole bunch of them, they let them go. Well, I mean, let's just think for ourselves for a split second and say, if you get a bunch of ballots that have the same name on them, you're going to count them. I guess, does the end justify the means? Right? So, you know, it's all those things that they put in place that the state legislatures were ignored by in some cases, the Secretary of State. Well, Secretary of State, some of those states were installed using money from George Soros and Hillary Clinton. So, and they did it to put the people in there that they knew would count the votes in such a way that they would have power forever. Even if you're a Democrat, let's say you're a Democrat and you are an honest person, you just happen to be a Democrat, luck of the draw, and you find out that, well, let me put it this way. I posted back when I found out, it was, I think, before the election, posted something on Facebook, you know, about the post office. And they had this thing about the post office not being able to handle the mail-in ballots and all this and that. And it was like, yeah, we got this. It's not going to be that, you know, it's not going to be anything we haven't had before. Maybe it's not ballots, but, you know, we can handle it. I put out there that part of the problem was, if you move and you put a forward in to your new address, these mail-in ballots are going to both addresses. So if you move into a place and you get a ballot that, let's say, was addressed to the person who lived there before, you have an opportunity and turn in two of them. And I had, you know, some of my friends saying, you know, no. You know, that people don't do that. People are not going to do that. And you know, it's like those people that their gaslit media talking point vomiting, basically. You know, so I was like, well, maybe you wouldn't, but it seems like if there were enough people who did, you'd still take the win. You know, and I still have people that think that, you know, they'll take the win, and they won't believe, they will just refuse to believe if this proves to be, you know, all these votes prove to be fraudulent. It's going to be a big conspiracy theory, just like Rachel Maddow says, you know, it's just going to be the pro-Trump conspiracy theory. And, you know, everybody knows Trump's a racist, you know, pussy grabber or whatever. And, you know, they should just ignore it. Well, that doesn't make what you say true. You know, what it ends up being. That's what it is. So the whole thing was just to the end doesn't justify the means if it's not a means that you would agree with. You know,
right?
I got some of my buddies are in denial. You know, they're like, yeah, no, I don't think people would do that. You know, and this and that. I bet there were plenty of people who did. You know, hey, we got an opportunity to make sure. And not to mention the wheelbarrows full of ballots that came in after they found out how many they needed. They'd wheel them in. Oh, look, he won by 10,000 votes, and that's what this guy was saying. There was like, how many? 234,000 possible illegal votes, and he only won by 10,000 in Arizona.
Hello. Right.
Hello.
Yeah. Now, here in Georgia, there was a guy, he was on TV, and he even told them, he said, look, I cast two absentee ballots. I did that. And then on top of casting two absentee ballots, he also went and voted in person. And he was able to do it. They had that on TV. And I'm like, so you're saying no voter fraud? But this guy just said he cast a total of three ballots, two absentees, and then he went and voted in person. And they're saying, oh, there was no voter fraud at all. And right. and like you had mentioned, this organization, Look Ahead America, the one that did the audit of Georgia, they've been around for a minute. They didn't pop up just because of the 2020 elections. They've been around for a minute, and they've been doing this. And, you know, it's a 501c3. It's a nonprofit joint, and, you know, they have to get donated money to go through all these projects. And according to their numbers, they spent almost $500,000. Well, almost $600,000 to do this audit. And and they talk about right in here, it says, despite providing results under extraordinary, difficult, and unique circumstances, our initial results never received a fair hearing in a court of law, nor did any elected official thoroughly examine our work.
Okay, wait a minute. Did they say why the court didn't take it?
No. They don't mention why the court didn't take it. They just said the court...
Probably a standing thing, right?
Yeah, court just said, screw you.
Okay. And that was one of the things that they told Trump. They said, well, a president doesn't have standing to bring this thing. Okay, this is my election. I'm the only one that has standing, you know? That was what the Supreme Court told them. You know, you don't have standing for this. Well, who freaking does? You know, I'll get them. Anyways, go ahead.
Yeah.
Sorry. Georgia.
Yeah, but apparently they went through great lengths to get this stuff looked at by a court. And the crazy thing is, prior to this, their stuff was examined by courts. You know, courts would, we'll take a look and see what we got going on. Now, I don't know the end results of those because I haven't checked into them. I mean, but I don't know why, you know, in past elections, these guys work. But all of a sudden, this one particular one, we're not going to look at that.
Right.
Yeah, we're not even going to entertain it. And see, that was the really, really frustrating thing. These weren't even entertained by a court. The court said, we're not even gonna glance at them. Don't bring them to us. We're not even gonna glance at them. And that's extremely frustrating because you got to think, a lot of the stuff that they did, especially here in Georgia, with the ballot boxes and all that other stuff. That stuff was popped up by the Secretary of State, which was illegal. And I know.
That's the whole point. That's the whole point. It's illegal, but who are you going to get to prosecute it? Well, that guy's bought. That guy. Somebody got to that guy. You know, somebody got to this guy. Somebody got to that lady. You know, that's what I've been saying the whole time. Somebody got to him. And then I've also said somebody knows something. And then,
somebody knows something.
And then today I found this Michigan polls leaked audio exposed on Rumble. And I don't know how this is going to translate, but there's a few things. If you can hear what she's saying, there's a couple of really key things in there. Like, you know, one of the things that she says is as far as observers go, you're entitled to your 6 feet. So they'll come up behind you. But if there's not 6 feet behind you, they don't get to be there. So they just put the people with their backs against the wall so no one can come over there and look over their shoulder. You know, and they just got around it that way. The other thing was, when they were holding up these big sheets of paper so you couldn't see what they were doing. So, you know, I got this other one, and it's on Rumble. It's not on YouTube, by the way, this this particular video.
Yeah.
I'd like to give this a try and see if I can't read some of it that is because it's a video and it has graphics, and then it goes back to the audio that the trainer is teaching a class. You can tell, you know, because she's asking questions. She's doing it like a Socratic method where, you know, what about this? And then all the class would answer. And then, you know, well, okay, and why do we do that? And then the class answers. You know, she's doing that Socratic method here. But here's part of that. Detroit leaks the vote fraud scheme to steal Michigan.
Your chairperson can issue him what type of ballot?
A provisional
envelope. Why? Where's it going? Not in the tabulator. It's going in an envelope, right? We have how many days? 6. So what is the Department of Elections going to do with it? Destroy it.
Multiple Detroit poll worker trainings were audio recorded, which revealed. I didn't read that fast enough. Hold on.
I'm gonna do with it. Destroy it.
Which will reveal the mechanics of the planned theft of the election. They demonstrate exactly how things will and will not happen on election day. Step one. Kick out the poll challengers. Here we go.
Challengers and poll watchers. They have to wear a mask and they have to stay 6 feet. That's important because they can come behind your table. But if you don't have 6 feet, they can't come back there. Any questions?
The 60 staff can really be visiting. Big neck, too.
Exactly.
All right. They said, so the 6 feet back. Unless they have really good vision, they can't actually see. And that's when she says,
exactly. 60.
Okay.
That's the rule, right? And you are entitled to your 6 feet.
Is that common?
Yep, there's a common. They come. I don't know if they're coming to every precinct, but they're coming to many of them in the city. Yes, we have already gotten word. The state has already said they are coming. And the basic thing they're going to challenge is what?
Absentee ballot.
That is correct.
What if they're like challenging and they start yelling and kind of making a scene?
911.
So if they start yelling and making a scene?
They got standards. They got
time. 911.
Okay.
They make a scene, give them a bite of it.
Michigan compiled laws 168.733. The Board of Inspectors shall provide. Hold on. The Michigan.
Okay.
Trying to figure out how to. Step two: process challenge ballots as regular ballots to be counted. Ballot tabulator. The picture. Before 2020, no challenged ballot would go into the tabulator. This is because every
future.
So before 2020, all challenge ballots were separated.
They went into a challenge ballot envelope. And now, as of 2020, however...
How do you challenge a ballot? You take the ballot, you write in the, under the barcode 2003, and you cover it with what kind of tape?
Post-it.
The post-it tape. But this time, you're going to put it in a secrecy sleeve, and Mr. Sparks is going to go vote as normal. So his ballot is going through what? The tabulator.
Will be counted immediately on election night, and only if, after the fact, the challenge ballot is rejected, will an election official locate the ballot, break the seal, and fish out the challenge ballot from the pile of thousands to find the one with the post-it tape covering up the challenge ballot. This is never going to happen, unless maybe in a recount. So step three, allow anyone with an easily forged piece of paper to vote.
Page 15. All right. Page 15 is an example of a new voter registration receipt. In Michigan, what can we do now as new voters? We can register to vote up and through Election Day. The computer system, the electronic poll book program is downloaded on Saturday before Election Day. It is not a live feed. So if someone registers on Sunday or Monday, they're not going to be in your computer. But they should have a receipt when they register. If they do not vote at the time they register, they give them a receipt to bring to the precinct. So Mr. Stark, he came in. You looked and you didn't find him. So you're going to say, Mr. Stark, are you a registered voter in Michigan? Mr. Stark is going to say, sure. I'm Iron Man. I flew in yesterday, and I'm registered to vote. Right? Mr. Stark, did they give you a receipt? Hopefully he will have one. He would have either right up under here. The first type of receipt he might have is going to say, process him as a challenge voter. Everybody highlight that. Then below that, it says note to election inspector. Highlight that, because those are going to be the directions on how you process this ballot. The one down below says process him as a regular voter, a regular ballot. Highlight that.
So that over this, they're showing pictures of the ballot, of the regular ballot. And the receipt of the ballot. That's what they're showing pictures of, and they're showing, you know, where it is on the receipt. I'm not gonna play any more of that. But you can see how they were trained and by whom. They were trained by an activist. They were trained by somebody who knew what they needed to do to ride the edge. All
right.
Legal, you know what I mean? So it's all right there. You know what they're saying? You know, if you don't let them behind you, and the only way they'll be able to see is if they have really good vision or if they brought their binoculars that day. They all laughed. So they were obviously all on the same page, except for the guy that made this recording or the person who made this recording. And,
right.
You know, props to them, because it really illustrates a lot as far as what the people were told. They were given the rules according to consent decrees or, agreements that were made outside of the laws that were established by the state legislatures. You know, like taking mail-in ballots 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 days after the election day, you know, stuff like that. No signatures need to match, no postmarks, stuff like that. these are the rules that these guys were being given. As you know, just as an example, those kinds of things, whatever was going on in Michigan, however they got around it in Michigan. And none of it had anything to do with the rules that were on the book, which is the proper way to count those votes according to the laws that particular state legislature put out, you know, posted. Or passed.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, passed. It doesn't even say the governor has to approve it in the Constitution. It doesn't even say the governor has to sign that law for it to be law. It says according to the state legislature, which is interesting because in order to pass a law, what happens? You got the House, you got the Senate, you know, and then it goes to the executive, which is the governor in the state. But it has nothing to do with the governor. I found that interesting.
Me too.
Anyways, did some of that translate? I mean, were you able to follow some of that?
Yeah.
All right, because she was saying some things that, and the way she was saying it too was kind of like a wink, wink, nudge, nudge, the whole what they don't know won't hurt them, or that type of attitude, and it's like, how does this not be investigated? This is what I'm saying. Somebody knows something, and you just got to wring it out of them, and you got to whoever does it has to have the balls to put it out there and start debunking all these other things. But it goes all the way up to the top. It goes all the way up even above the top. And, you can't upset that apple cart. So whoever in Arizona is who's going to, expose all this, better get some bodyguards. That's all I'm saying.
Right. Yeah. Most definitely. Most definitely. And another thing. Now, this happened to me twice. This happened the first time Obama ran, and it happened again during the election of Biden. When I was at the polling place, standing in line, waiting to vote, they gave out sample ballots to let you know what the ballot looked like and all this other stuff, so you wouldn't be surprised when you got there. Mm-hmm. However, on the sample ballots, all the Democrats were checked. It's supposed to be a blank piece of paper just showing you what you should expect when you get up there to vote. But yeah, they had all the Democrats.
Boy, oh boy,
checked.
Is that some subliminal shit?
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, once I get my computer up and running, I have a picture from the Obama when it happened to Obama, and I actually called the Justice Department about that. Nothing ever happened. Nothing ever happened.
It was Obama's Justice Department. That's why.
Yeah, it was so frustrating. Nothing ever happened. And this time, I didn't do everything that I did with the Obama administration, but when Obama ran. But yeah, they had all the Democrats checked on this sample ballot, which they're not supposed to do that at all, but that's the way it was. And they had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of copies of that. And they were handing it out to the people standing in line.
Well, do you think they just probably ran them through the machine after everybody left?
They probably did. Yeah,
one of those TikToks that I played a minute ago while you were muted, I think, it was like the ballots in Arizona that they're finding, some of them are they have just one name, Biden, just the one name.
Yeah.
Who's gonna do that?
I had heard about that. And the same when they were doing when they were counting the ballots here in Georgia, they had mentioned that. They had mentioned that some of these absentee ballots only had one name selected, and it was Biden. They were supposed to throw out those ballots. That did not happen.
They were welcomed with open arms.
Yes, they were welcomed with open arms.
Hey, top of the hour, why don't you hit some promos, and we'll pick this right up where we left off at the when we get back.
All right. Okay. All right. Once again, it's the top of the hour. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll get into some more stuff because that's how we do what we do. You are listening to the Dave Ajeski Rock Show right here on Airwaves America, and we'll be right back.
My daddy was a hero, and I'm so proud of him. I love him, and I miss him very much.
I made you die.
I love you, Daddy.
Very sad and hurtful that my sisters won't have as much as memory like I do with my dad.
When I told the girls that their daddy became an angel, it was extremely hard because their daddy was no longer there to tuck them in at night, to be with them every day.
There are over 1,000 families that need our help. Tunnelton Towers is honoring those heroes that risked their lives by providing them with mortgage-free homes.
The moment I stepped in my home, I was in awe, knowing that this was the most beautiful home I'd ever stepped into.
I love this house because it helps me and my mommy and my baby sisters and all my other family to realize that other people are there with us and supporting us.
I'm Frank Silla, chairman of the Stephen Silla Tunnel to Towers Foundation. This is our contract with our first responders and military, that when you go and serve your country or your community, and you give your kids a kiss goodbye, and you don't come home or you're catastrophically injured, we're going to give them a mortgage-free home.
It means so much to me as a law enforcement officer who was affected by a tragic incident with the loss of my husband to know that if there is a loss in the future, the Tunnel to Towers will provide support for those families. They're not alone. I lost the father to my children. And for $11 a month, you can make families like mine more whole.
I'd like to ask you to contribute $11 a month to support their efforts. Please visit tunneltotowers.org.
I love life. I love life because there's a challenge and something new every day. I was told when I was getting married that I had this kidney disease, and my three sisters had it, and two of my brothers had it as well. It slows the kidneys down till they stop working. I tell myself that this can be rough and hard, but you can live and you can be happy. I go to dialysis 3 times a week. I spend 4 hours in the center. It's good to go to dialysis and see somebody care about you. I'm a social worker by profession. I like being around people. It is important to listen to your technicians and your doctors, your nephrologists and dietitians. If you don't talk to them, they don't know you're feeling bad or feeling sick. By working together, you'll feel better. I got my husband, I got my family, I got my job. I visit different places doing health and wellness like hospitals, dialysis centers, clinics, and do workshops concerning prevention for kidney failure. Dialysis affects people in different ways. Find out how it affects you so you can be able to beat it to the punch so you'll be able to be active and do things that you want to do. Be educated about what's going on with you and your body. I try to enjoy life more than what I have before. I have kidney failure, and I'm living.
I am Conor McGregor, multiple weight MMA champion. I'm a fighter and I've been through many battles in the octagon. Many consider my fights in the octagon heroic, but the real life heroes are those men and women who fight to protect us every day. The real life fighters, the real life heroes, are the firefighters and police officers. These first responders are true heroes, because these brave men and women put themselves in the line of danger every single day protecting us all. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation ensures that first responders from fire, EMS and police departments who are killed in the line of duty with young children have a home without the burden of a mortgage. They are my heroes. They need our help today. I'd like to ask you to join me in donating $11 a month to support their efforts. Your $11 a month honors and supports our first responders. Please call now at 1-844-BRAVEIT or visit tunneltotowers.org.
You have reached the family of Airwaves America. Renaissance Radio presents the Dave and GC Rock Show. Thanks for joining our informative, stimulating, thought-provoking, and entertaining show. Welcome.
And welcome indeed. You know, I was tempted to play the wise one, but I don't want to wear it out, so I held.
Fair
on.
Enough. Yeah, that's yeah. Right. Fair enough. Well, yeah. We can toggle once you get the. Are we there yet? You can. We can toggle between the two.
Yeah, and I have a few more that I need to upload, but I was having a problem for whatever reasons. It was telling me that it wasn't in the right format, so I got to go back and check, and I'll get
convert
them
to MP3. Convert them to MP3. You'll be fine.
Yeah, so we're all good.
When I convert from my GarageBand to iTunes, it's like MP4, which is I can't upload to Blog Talk. But if I convert it from that to MP3, it'll go right in. So that's all you got to do.
Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna go back and check and see what the dealio is, and we'll get those. Yeah, we'll get those uploaded, and we'll have lots and lots and lots of more. And I'm expecting some from Vito and some other guys.
Did you reach out?
So, I'll have those soon. So
awesome.
we'll have enough.
We're getting there. We might get to take more breaks if we have more promos.
Yeah,
Save me.
Yeah, it's good that we can take a break, because it's clockwork. I'm on dialysis every single time that we're doing the show because mm-hmm. I get off work, and it really doesn't matter what time I get off work. I get off work kind of early on Fridays, but by the time I get finished setting everything up, and I'm on. Dialysis will run into the show. So most right. of the time I'm getting off towards the end of the show, but yeah, I'm constantly on dialysis, when I'm doing the show. So the breaks help me out a lot.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, when you first contacted me and said, you're going to be starting the show and then said, well, I'm doing dialysis and, it's like a 2 or 3 hour thing. I thought, well, what better way to kill, a couple of hours than to do, something like what we're doing. I think it's fantastic. And I think it's a great, a great way to, just put out into the ether, the way that you and I think, basically that's what we're doing. I mean, if anybody wants to listen, they do. If anybody doesn't, they don't, you know. But what we're doing is we're putting out into – and that was what – that was, you know, when I was writing my books, it was, well, there's so many, you know, left-wing books and there's so much left-wing stuff out there. There's so many left-wing professors. There's so many left-wing media. There's so many left-wing this. Why don't I try to at least toss a couple of, you know, bricks on the bat, you know, to balance it out? And, you know, that's kind of what we're doing here. I mean, it's to whatever degree, you know, we're just two people. We're not professionals. We're not, you know, famous. We're just two guys. And, you know, we put our heads together and we say, okay, you know, we would like to live in a country that is a little less, you know, communistic. What can we do?
Right.
Well, here we go. And here we are. So that's kind of what we're doing. Just, you know, in a nutshell, it's we're the regular people and we're having a discussion about, you know, what we see and what we think and through the lens of, you know, conservatism, I guess. So,
yeah.
And the Constitution.
Right.
From my point of view.
Yeah, we're two guys that just want them to follow the Constitution. It's a fantastic document. And it's
unbelievable. It, yeah.
It's not a living document like they would suggest.
Well, not like they would suggest.
Not like they would suggest.
Right. It's living in the sense that, you know, if you get enough clout, you can amend it. Okay.
Right.
The bar is high.
Very high.
And here's the cool thing, okay? Like, I don't know how many, if you've ever gone to the Hillsdale College courses and stuff.
Yes.
They're free, and they are absolutely phenomenal. So what you have above everything, and this is awesome because this is a fun little segue into a thesis that I have. What you have above everything is natural law, right? Natural law. Water is wet. The sky is blue. Men are men. Girls are girls, right? That is natural law. I mean, there's so many things, you know, dogs are dogs, trees are trees type of thing. Larry Arn did a thing on natural law that was absolutely phenomenal. And there's, you know, to the degree that there's a couple of different ways that you can identify and relate to natural law. For instance, well, you have, let's say you have a rock, right? Not a living thing. You have a tree. Well, it's a living thing, but it's not a sentient type of thing, right? Well, then you'll have a dog. A dog actually shows emotions, you know? There's a living thing that has, you know, some sentience and can interact and communicate to a degree with you. But then you have man, which is, you know, above, and I'll say mankind. How's that? And they have the spark of reason that dogs don't have. Dogs have instinct, and I'm really compacting this concept.
Right.
You know, humans have the divine spark of reason where you can kind of think about things and reason it out and come up with some conclusions on your own. Well, is that where it stops? Are people perfect? No. So that means there must be a level above that. Well, that's where the angels are. Angels, they're perfect. Well, we can't ever reach that perfection. We can aspire to that. Okay, so there's your natural law hierarchy, right there, right?
Right.
So just to give an example of what I mean when I say natural law, it's that kind of a thing. It's what you can observe in nature, in the natural state of things. If you have, you know those kabuki theater things that are silhouettes?
Yes.
Okay, so if you and I are behind the screen, backlit, so that we project a shadow onto the screen, people in front of the screen will see what? They'll see two guys. Right, but what they'll see is, oh, that's two guys. They're not going to see that you're a black guy and I'm a white guy, right?
Right.
Okay. So, but if you then walk a pig into that, you're going to be able to say, okay, now that is not like the other two. Those two guys are equal in the way that in the way they are related. That's the degree in which they are equal. So you and I are equals. Because we're both humans.
Right.
The pig, not so much. You see what I mean? And the silhouette is what will make that obvious as hell. Right? I mean, does that make any sense?
Yes.
So, that's when I say natural law, that's the kind of thing that I'm talking about. You know, things are equal. When you break it down to their nature on what they do or what they're meant to do or, you know, the nature of a thing. If it's equal
right.
to the same nature as another thing, then those two things are equal in nature. But
right.
if you get a person and a pig, then there's no equality there. And it's the kabuki shadow kind of really makes that glaringly obvious. And to circle back to what I said a second ago, the progressive agenda and Marxism, what I contend, my thesis, is everything having to do with the left is to destroy natural law.
Exactly.
That is the bottom line. That is the distilled version of everything that's going on. There are nuances here and there and here and there. You know, how many genders are there? Well, there's really two. You can say there's as many as you want because you want to destroy the natural law that says there's two. And I can only assume the reason they would want that is so that nobody's held accountable for anything. Natural law holds you accountable. There's you know, thou shalt not kill type of thing. You know, you need to be accountable if you do.
Right.
So anyways, that's a thesis that I had. So.
And that goes into play with New York. I'm trying to find this article. New York just recently passed something about your license. You now have another section to check. There's male, there's female, and then there's this other section. I'm trying to find an article to see exactly what it consists of. I don't know what genders are in there or whatever.
It might just be other, you know, it might just be other, which would cover the rest of the whatever they say the 23 genders there are, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, every time I hear something, you know, I know that this is one more thing that picks away at the natural law. You know, climate change picks away at natural law. They say, you know, whatever they say, critical theory picks away at natural law. You know, anything that you can come up with in the category that it deals with, compare it with natural law, and it will override their concept will override natural law on purpose.
Right.
Because natural law would say, no, that's not right. That's not right. I mean, how many times do you say it, you know? That's not right. that's just not right. Okay, you can think that, but that's not really right, you know?
Right.
They just don't want to be held accountable for, you know, to think that there are angels, there's a level above them. That's the thing. You know, you have rock, tree, dog, man, angels. You know what I mean? Those are that's the hierarchy. Well, if there's somebody above you, that means you have to be accountable. So there can't be anybody above you. That's their thing. That's the
right.
Marxism. That's the degrowthers. That's the I don't know what else. That's their
thing. Yeah, it says here, this is from NBC, Channel 4 in New York. New York driver's licenses will soon offer X for non-binary gender identity markers.
X.
Yes. An X for non-binary gender identity markers. Yes. So you can just put an X.
All right, sorry. Okay, well, you know, and I say, good for you. To what end? To make you feel better. So, speaking of that, I work at a karate school.
Right.
Instructor there, and we've just instituted a jiu-jitsu program in which, you know, there's a kids class and there's an adult class. And in both classes at this time, the last time I looked over at them, because there's karate classes that I teach that are going on simultaneous with them, I look over at them, there's not one kid wearing a mask. Not one instructor wearing a mask. That's awesome. And I have a gaiter, you know what I mean? It goes around your neck and I can pull it up over my nose if I need to.
Right.
So I had it pulled down and I was teaching a class of kids and one of the parents came to me and said, Mr. Graham, when you're within 6 feet of my kid, could you put your mask up? Oh yeah. I forgot it was down. No problem. So I put it up. And it's one of those things, you know, like the restaurant thing. You know, I have to wear the mask until I get to the table.
Right.
then I can take it off. And I actually saw a quick little clip about this, you know, where someone was debunking that. You know, you have the plexiglass there. So the plexiglass is for what? Well, that's to keep, you know, keep your germs over there. Well, that's not how air works. So if I'm sitting here, can I smoke a cigarette? You know? Oh, well, no, you can't. Well, okay. Okay. That's how air works. Right?
Right.
So the people over there doing jiu-jitsu can run around with no masks on. And jiu-jitsu is about as up close and personal as it gets. I mean that's rolling and legs wrapped and arms wrapped and, you know, just faces smashed against faces, you know. And
right.
So, and this guy was like, well, I don't know. I guess they told me afterwards, you know, this guy was they were going to quit because they didn't feel safe here with their kid.
Right.
And the kid had a mask on, you know, so it's like, you know, I mean, at this point, don't you wear a mask if you're worried? Because I'm not, you know, I'm afflicted with this condition called an immune system. So I'll be fine. Right. So So he told me, you know, that he wanted me to put the mask up when I was within 6 feet of his kid. And I asked permission from the owners of the karate school. I didn't get it. I didn't get permission to say this. But here's what I asked permission to say. But next time I, you know, the opportunity strikes when somebody talks about putting my mask up or something. And I should say, so we should wait until you tell us it's okay to move in a direction that we need to move in order to do what we do. Because karate is a contact sport.
Yeah.
We should. He said, no, you can't. You can't really say that. I said, oh, damn. But I mean, does that not sum it up? I have to wait for you to tell me, running a business. I'm running my business, right?
Right.
And it's a contact sport, and that's what we teach. And I have to wait for you to tell me when it is going to be okay to move in the direction that I to move in to ply our trade.
Yeah.
I guess
it's
I have to wait.
Crazy.
Another couple of weeks, I guess. You know, another couple of weeks, they'll probably put an email that says masks are optional.
Yeah.
And then people who don't feel safe will leave and will, you know, will let the chips fall where they may. You know, I mean, that's what are you going to do? You can't let one parent bully you. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
I just can't abide that. I can't see that. You know, we teach about, you know, how to deal with bullies and stuff like that. You know, that's what we do
right.
with kids.
Yeah. But yet, you're being bullied by parents.
They don't realize it because they think they're doing the right thing. They feel scared.
Right. Yeah, luckily here in Georgia, like I said, we've got a pretty good governor, and he's eased most of the restrictions. And he even passed an executive order today. I haven't read it, but the executive order says pretty much he's eased up most of the remaining restrictions that we had. A couple of weeks ago, he eased up most of the restrictions. Like restaurants, they can be full capacity. Restaurants and bars can be full capacity.
Okay, hold up. Okay, because we have that here in New Hampshire. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
As somebody who is involved intimately in you know, restaurants, bars, clubs, and entertainment, they have been given the clearance to be at full capacity provided they maintain the 6 feet social distance.
We don't have that here.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't have that here. They broke it down. They've done 3 feet.
Well, they did 3 feet in schools here.
Yeah,
the
CDC was responsible for that.
Right.
Yeah, but they did 3 feet for bars and restaurants and stuff like that. And our sports coliseums and stadiums, they're going to 100% next week. I think May 7th, which is a Friday. So yeah, they're going 100% capacity, May 7th, and yeah, they've eased up most of the restrictions. Like I said, there were some still remaining, and he passed an executive order just today, but I haven't had a chance to read it, so I don't know what other restrictions he's ended. I haven't taken a look at it yet, so. But I will.
Yeah.
I will, but it's all good. It's all good. Yeah. Like I said, we got a pretty good governor here. He stays on it, and he doesn't let anybody bully him. the only thing that I don't like about our governor he's monotone. And yeah, his speeches can get kind of boring sometime when he's talking, because yeah, he's monotone. He doesn't, you can't detect anger in his voice or anything. When he was talking about people trying to boycott the state, and when the Major League Baseball pulled out, yeah, he got on there. He was talking about it, but he's so monotone. There was
no
anger.
Passion.
Yeah, it was just no. Yeah, there's no passion, no anger, just monotone. I'm like, all right. I'm like, go, Governor, go. Okay.
Well, here's the thing, okay? So say he displayed some passion. Well, wouldn't he be hysterical and shrill as
yes.
reported? You know what I mean? So what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, he wants to be elected again. He doesn't want to be known as the guy who's hysterical and shrill.
Yeah, but I mean, he's a great governor. You know, only real blip that we had is when him and Trump were butting heads
yeah.
about the election. But you know, that was Trump's bad, because you know the governor had nothing to do with all that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he aimed his sights at the governor and the Secretary of State. Now the Secretary of State, everything that Trump gave him, he was deserving of. But yeah, the governor wasn't really deserving of some of the stuff that Trump.
Well, I mean, is that one of those Soros Secretary of States?
You know what? I haven't looked into it. It seems like it, but I haven't looked into it to confirm that.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, there was like what, five states in question, and you know. If I'm George Soros, I'll say, how many do I absolutely need to get in there? And then
right.
put whatever it, you know, whatever's necessary to get, as far as money goes, to get that person installed and just to, you know, hire the right people and the right PR and all that. So I wouldn't be surprised if it was the same, the five states that were in question as far as, you know, the election goes. I bet
right.
those five are Soros Secretary of States
funded.
Secretaries
yes.
of States. So yeah. So I mean, that's
yeah.
that's what.
It wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me. You know, just how the Secretary of State reacted to a lot of this stuff and. Some of the statements that he said, you know, during the recounts and all that other stuff. So it would not surprise me at all. So yeah, I'll do a little research and check on that. But yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all if he was involved in that program.
Hey, can I go in a different direction here? I don't know.
Yeah, you can. And a matter of fact, you can go ahead and do that, because right now I'm getting off the machine. So there's some stuff that I got to do. So, yeah, just go ahead. Take it away.
I got some terrible news today. So this is kind of a full disclosure thing. And I have a text. A group with some cousins, and one of them is in California, one of them's in Maryland, D.C., the other one's in upstate New York, and you know, once in a while, you know, we were all, you know, childhood friends, you know, we would, when we got together, it was always the coolest thing, and I got a text from my cousin from California today, that it was a picture of him and the cousin that now lives in Maryland, and it was a childhood picture juxtaposed with a more of a current picture, and then there was an emoji with a teardrop. Now, this cousin in California tends to, you know, go through stuff and reminisce, and you know, he's an Aerosmith fan, so he'll post an Aerosmith song or something, and he'll you know, something that he'll remember, or something that he likes, or whatever he's thinking about, he'll post to the group text. You know, it was like three or four, maybe five of us on it. And he sent me this text today with those pictures, and then an emoji with a teardrop. So I was like, so I texted back, and I was like, "Hey, Rob, have you?" And I've been meaning to text him about this. You know, have you ever heard of this band called Monster Truck? It's there. I don't know where they're from, but they're kind of a hard rock blues type of thing. I think you might like them. And he's like, he texted back, "Didn't you hear about Scott, who lives in Maryland?" And I was like, "No, I didn't." He says he died. And of course, immediately I felt stupid for texting him about a band when he was trying to convey a sentiment So, you know, I said, like, all right, the heck with this texting stuff. So I actually called him. He was at work. He's, you know, like I said, he lives in California. So,
yeah,
probably noontime or something. And he said, yeah, he said, I got a call from the other cousin that's in the text chain a couple of hours ago. I said, I missed a call. And, you know, we usually just text each other. So when there's a missed call, you know, it can't be something good. And the last time we were all together was up in Vermont, where their dad lived, and you know, their dad passed away, and we were all together for his funeral. And that was probably 2 years ago now. And so yeah, he said the middle brother gave him a call, you know, he missed the call. So when he called him back, that's when he found out that our other cousin had passed away. And it was his younger brother, you know, that passed.
Right.
And apparently, as of, you know, from what he was told by the people who notified him, that I think he worked in a jail. And he was some kind of a supervisor in a jail or something, and down in like D.C. And as of like a couple of days ago, you know, he had complained, not feeling well, and then he missed a day of work, no call, no show, and then he missed another day, no call, no show, and then they did like a welfare check, and they found him at his house. He lived alone, and that's when they found him. So, you know, I really don't know yet. This is all just today. This is all just, you know, really, really fresh. And I know I had to do this radio show, so I kind of put it aside. But, you know, it started creeping back upon me as the show moved on. And I just wanted to just kind of get it out, at least, that, you know, there's something going on with me. And that's what it is. I mean, he's probably like two years older than I am. So he's, you know, not even 60 years old. And I guess a couple probably within the last 3 or 4 months he'd had a heart surgery, some kind of a bypass surgery,
right.
which is not really surprising because his father had 2 or 3 bypass surgeries and, you know, lived to be, you know, almost 90. And like I said, he just passed away two years or so ago. And, you know, so I'm still kind of waiting on some more details. I'm waiting on, you know, as far as, you know, what happened to him, and I'm waiting on some more details as far as, you know, obviously, you know, there'll be some kind of a service that, I'll
right.
want to go through if I can. So yeah, he was, when we were all together, it was pretty cool. Like, you know, when we were, I was kind of like the little kid that was, you know, kind of a nuisance, but all the other kids, they were, you know, all the, within a year or two of being the same age, and they, you know, they would all play together, and I would try to hang with them, you know.
Right.
And, you know, then as I got older, you know, I kind of got, you know, absorbed into the group because, you know, I'm a little older now, you know, I can get.
Right, right.
I can hang. So it was, I called my mother and told her she didn't know. I called my two brothers. They didn't know. And I was like, oh, this sucks. You know, being the bearer of terrible news.
Right.
I just didn't know any other way to say it. I just said, "Listen, I've gotten some terrible news, and I need to share it with you." So, I just said it, and you know, now I'm waiting on you know what happened exactly, and you know what if any services are going to be and where, you know, and where
yeah.
they're going to be. So,
yeah.
So anyways, thanks for letting me kind of like vent that. Cause that's all real, real, real fresh, you know,
yeah,
real fresh in my mind. I was thinking about it the whole time. So
yeah,
got a little distracted, you know, at some points, but you know, we were all really, really good friends. And like I said, you know, we, after, and that's the second of the siblings and on my from my uncle there, second of my cousins that has passed. The oldest
right.
brother passed like six, well, probably almost 10 years ago now. The oldest brother
yeah.
passed, and you know, the father was devastated but made it until, you know, high 80s before he passed.
Right.
His wife passed before him a few years before that. So,
yeah.
But anyways, like I said, thanks for letting me.
No problem. I mean, you know, number one, condolences. Yeah, I know how that feels. I know how it is having to relay that information to the rest of your family members. Cause I mean, that's what happened to me when my mom passed, you know, cause my mom, she lived with me, and you know, I got out of the military to take care of her. And,
right. Yep.
Yeah, and we always said that, you know, she was in good health for a sick person, and
yeah,
and she passed away in her sleep, but it just happened so that. My older brother was visiting at the time. He was here with his son, and he initially went in there and he was like, oh, she's asleep. And I was like, oh, okay. So, you know, we just let it go. And my brother was about to leave. We kicked it for a couple of hours, and then he was about to leave. I said, well, let me go ahead and wake her up. Just so she can say bye or whatever.
Oh man.
And I went in there trying to wake her up, and yeah, she didn't. And you know, I guess I was in shock, but I wasn't. And, you know, I just walked out and I looked at my brother and I said, hey man, I said, mom's gone. And you know, when I felt her, she was cold. So I know that.
Wow.
Yeah, she had passed away early, and you know,
you all thought she was just sleeping all that time, yeah.
Yeah, because you know, because it was a Sunday, and you know, me and my mom, we usually talk about football and stuff like that. So we talked about football, and then she was like, "Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and take my nap," and I said, "Okay, all right,
yeah.
I'll see you when you get up." You know, I was about 3:30. And, you know, we, you know, did what we just normally do. And, yeah, she probably passed away a little bit after she went to sleep. Cause yeah, when I finally went in there, tried to wake her up. Yeah. She was cold.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, she passed away in her sleep. So
how long ago was that?
That was 2009.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was 2009. But you know, she had got surgery 1997, and they said that she wouldn't live 2 years. She lived all the way up to 2009. So she had plenty of time, and it was kind of ironic. Probably 2 weeks before she passed away, she told me. She told me, she said, you know what? She said, if God wants to take me now, I'm fine with it because I've seen what I need to see. She said, I've seen my kids grow up. I've seen my grandkids, and I'm in a very good place. So if God wants to take me now, he can.
And what else can you do? You know what I mean? That's the reason, that's the logic that I use when, you know, somebody says, oh, well, you have to put your mask on, you know, or you'll die or whatever, you know what I mean? As far as, you know, catching the virus or, you know, taking the vaccine or, you know, things like that. It's like, okay, listen, if the Lord calls me home, am I supposed to argue and say, well, wait, I got the vaccine, you know, or
right. You know, yeah.
You know, if the Lord calls you home, that's it. That's when you were supposed to go. That's the end of that story. And that is exactly what was supposed to happen.
Right. Exactly.
And, you know, everybody thinks that, well, you know, if you did this, you'd live longer. Nope. Not necessarily. When the Lord calls you home, that's when you go. And
yeah,
you know, there's nothing. There's no arguing. There's no argument. There's no reasoning. You know, there's no anti-natural law going on with that. When you're called, that's the end of it. That's the end. That's when you're supposed to go. Everybody that's left can say, well, you know, if he only did this, or if he only lived this way, or if he only, you know, quit smoking, or if he only did, you know what I mean? Everybody will try to make themselves feel better with these things. But that was exactly when you were supposed to go.
Yep,
if you get
exactly.
mugged and killed randomly, that's when you were supposed to go. That was supposed to happen to you. If you get hit by a bus randomly, that's when you were supposed to go. There's no arguing with that.
Right.
Although people will, but not you. You know?
Yes.
Not I.
Yes.
We'll be able to argue with that. 'Cause
yes.
That's it. I mean, when you look at things that way, it actually kind of makes things a little bit easier to deal with.
Yes. Yes, you can focus more. Yeah, you can focus more. You know, I used to tell people about this guy here in Georgia. He had I forgot what he had. I think it was pancreatic cancer or something like that. He was given 6 months to live. He lived for 5 years. He died in a car accident.
Because of the car accident, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That's how it was supposed to go, you know?
That's how it was supposed to go.
I'm trying to think. I referenced the Star Trek movie a couple weeks ago. I'll reference another one now. It's called The Undiscovered Country, and it had Leonard Nimoy playing Spock. And one of the things he said to his protege, I don't remember her name, but anyway, Sarek says, Salak, whatever the Vulcan was. He said, the universe will unfold as it should. Because she was saying, well, what about logic? And, you know, yeah. The universe will unfold as it should.
As it should.
And you know, when you look at it, that is so profound. That is amazingly profound.
Yes, it is.
So I don't know if you've ever seen that movie. It's called The Undiscovered Country. It's got Leonard Nimoy. It's got William Shatner. It's one of the last ones that that they did in that series.
Yeah,
but it was that was a good line. That was a great line.
Oh yeah, that's an awesome line. I'm gonna have to take that, wrap it up, and use it.
Well, I mean, it's called The Undiscovered Country. Leonard Nimoy directed it, so it was a pretty good movie.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to watch that one. I watched most of them. I did not see that one.
Well, back in the day, you can overload on them, you know. So it's like, oh another one. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
The one before that was directed by William Shatner, and it was kind of lame. But The Undiscovered Country. That's the name of that one.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check that one out.
Check it out. It's not bad.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, but I mean, this is our show. This is a family show, so we can talk about what we need to talk about. And those type of things you have to get off your chest. You have to get that stuff off your chest. You can't.
I did. I was like, oh, when would be a good time to do that? And I'm like, okay, well, let's save it to the end. I'm gonna say something about it. I was thinking about coming out of the gate with it, but I was like, let's go with what I've got, you know, what I've already got kind of prepared, and let's see how that goes, and let's see how far we can go with it afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah, but once again, my condolences.
Well, thank you.
I know how that feels.
He's got two daughters, and yeah, I mean they're grown, and you know, families and stuff.
Yeah,
matter of fact, one of them works down at Universal Studios down in Orlando, and we had contacted, I contacted him to get her number to see if she could just kind of like guide me, you know, we don't do this every day. You do. What's the best way to get the most, you know, bang for buck and stuff like that. She, and then, Sharon went down there with Mitchell and she ended up like comping their hotel room, comping them tickets. You know, it was like, I wasn't asking for that. You know, I just wanted to just kind of guide me on, you know, since you're in the business of, you know what the good deals are. If you're in the business, show me what those deals are. She's like, yeah, all right, come on in. Just give him this name. Just give him this number. And, you know, you'll be good. You know, to get the, like all the park tickets comped, you know, I mean, good, you know, the high end tickets, you know.
Oh yeah.
Got the hotel. I was like, damn. Good job.
Yeah, so that's awesome.
Yeah, that was awesome. But, you know, now this, you know, so.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he had his own demons that he worked with, but I don't think it was those demons that got him. Because he had, you know, he had it fairly under control. As far as he was a drinker, you know, but I think it was probably if I had to guess, I would say it was a heart condition that he had.
Right. Started. Right.
And, you know, living alone, nobody to say, you know, hey, let me call you an ambulance type of thing.
Right, yeah. So, exactly.
That's kind of what I'm guessing, you know, it's pure speculation. I don't think it was any, I mean, I have other friends that who's you know 20 something son OD'd, you know, and then we went down to that funeral. It was horrible.
Yeah,
you know, it's you know when he saw me, you know, he, my buddy there, he kind of shook his head and he's like, well, the monster got him, you know. The monster got him. He bought himself some drugs and didn't wake up.
And, yeah.
Tough. You know, that's tough to.
Yeah.
He had a baby girl too. He had a girlfriend and a baby girl. So now, you know, they're raising a, she's probably 9 or 10 now, you know.
Yeah.
A baby girl. So.
Yeah.
Adorable as hell. I see the pictures and stuff on Facebook. So she's,
yeah.
But it's like, you know, it's like they're just doing it again, you know. And then, you know, they're raising their grandchild like their own, and they're not the only ones to do that. My karate instructor, the guy that owns this karate school that I work for, he had a daughter, and then he had a son, and the daughter wasn't into karate, you know. She kind of went off on her own way, and she was living with a guy and had a couple of kids, and you know, the son went to college, you know, he was a little more disciplined, and he went to college, and he now basically runs the school. You know, like he's going to be taking over the school, you know, when the dad retires. So the daughter with, she had a couple of kids. She passed like unexpectedly, and her, you know, nobody really even knows of what. And now he and his wife are raising their grandkids, who are very little, you know, as kids, because there's no one else to really to do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, This is the kind of thing that happens now. You know, their real dad is still alive, but not in any position to, you know, to raise kids, type of thing.
Yeah.
So they've got the custody, and, you know, they're doing it. So.
Yeah, that's actually the situation with my oldest daughter. Yeah, my oldest daughter, her daughter is not her biological daughter. That's actually her cousin, and it's her cousin's daughter. She's been taking care of her since she was 5 months old. She's 13 now. Yeah, because both parents were strung out on drugs really, really, really bad.
Yeah, I mean, that's the monster, and that's tough.
Yeah.
So listen, we got 1 minute left. Let me direct your attention to one of the links I put into the chat. If you click on it, maybe we can talk about it next week. Trump supporter infiltrates Antifa group and releases recordings of them saying, "Hey, you know, we got to really go over the top. Let's kill some cops."
Okay.
We'll click on that and save it. We'll maybe talk about it next week. So.
Okay.
Anyways,
no problem.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Sue. I know you didn't chime in, but I know he said you're on the board, so I know you can hear me. So thank you. We love you. And have a good week, everybody, and take care. And good night.
Good night, everybody. Love you. See you next week.
You have reached the family of Airwaves America. Renaissance Radio presents the Dave and GC Rock Show. This is a show where we try to think for ourselves and offer thought-provoking, stimulating, informative, an entertaining discussion. Welcome.
So
that was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
All right.
Alrighty,
I kind of got lost on doing those audios because I was doing them from my phone and I was trying to read, you know, so I was trying to read the graphics that were coming up, but I don't think I read them fast enough. You know, I couldn't read them, and then it would bang back up. So anyway,
it's all good because I mean the major point you got across. So
all right, good.
Yeah,
it's hard to know. You know, it's hard to know how it sounds. I know how I see it. I know how I hear it. You know what I mean? I just don't know if I'm conveying, you know, the way I'm seeing it.
Right.
So, but like that was like a spontaneous point for today, where I've been saying for the last couple of weeks. Somebody knows something.
Yep.
And you got to know that the trainer on that video that I was going through, and it was probably, I only made it through half of it. It's like a 10-minute video. And I was like, all right, we can't do all this, you know.
Yeah.
There was some major points on there that would illustrate that somebody knows something.
Yeah.
You know? And why these people aren't, you know, brought in and, you know, questioned at least. Put them on the rolls until you subpoena them. But,
yeah,
you know, a video like this should be enough to subpoena them, I would think, you know?
Yeah, it busts it wide open.
It to me, it does, you know? To somebody else, it would be like, oh, you don't know where that came from.
Right,
yeah,
right.
That could have come from anywhere. You know what I mean? And
that's
probably the tack they'll take. But, you know, it's like, to me, it's, I believe it. Because it comports with all the other things that I've seen. You know, somebody talked about, you know, well, you know, there were all these ballots that weren't even creased. How are they absentee ballots or mail-in ballots when they weren't mailed in? If they were mailed in, they would have to be at least trifold, you know. There's no
right.
These are perfect. And then the other ones that had the perfect Huter generated perfect circle right on the you know, on the Biden name.
Right.
But nothing down ballot. Just that one perfect circle on the Biden name.
Right.
So, you know, it's like, okay, how many do we need? All right. Generate them. They didn't have time to do all the down ballot stuff and try to make it look good. They just needed the top of the ballot. Makes you think, by how much would they have lost? I think they would be tail between their legs if it was one ID, one vote.
Yeah.
You know, and no... No shenanigans with mail-in ballots 3 or 4 or 5 days after, you know, but you got to give a reason for an absentee ballot, you know, that type of thing. You know, it would be
landslide.
Yeah. Oh, it would be, you know, and I've always said that because when I was looking before the election and I was looking at, you know, the flotillas, the boats, the boat parades, the parades or caravans that were like 100 miles long out in the Midwest, and Biden's in his basement. And he's saying when he does come out, he says to groups, I don't need your help to get elected. I'm going to need your help after I'm elected. Well, how the hell do you know that? You know, or Nancy Pelosi saying, I guarantee Trump won't be the next president. How can you guarantee that?
Yeah, how can you
unless you have...
guarantee that unless you know something.
Right, unless you know something. Unless you have what is it that you know? Oh, well, I just know. But, you know, it's those things, all those things put together, you know. I had that article, I think when we first started up, I had this article about all the little anomalies and lawsuits and stuff. And I guided it and I directed my buddy at work to that. I sent it to him. I said, listen, if I send you this, you know, will you read it? Yeah, I'll read it. So, you know, I gave him a couple of weeks, you know, and I was like, oh, so did you ever read that article I sent you? And he starts his sentence with, so, I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, there's always going to be some degree of, you know, I literally stopped fucking listening, you know, because at that point it's like, okay, you never mind. You
right.
don't want to know, you know, you believe the end justifies the means and you don't want to know that there's any possibility. You hate
yeah.
Trump so much. He's the one that said, well, I don't love Biden, but I hate Trump.
Yeah.
You know, that type of thing.
Yeah. He's been gaslighted already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean,
he's been gaslighted already.
I think I asked him. I said, if Trump had won and any one of these anomalies existed, it would be the end of the world. It would be so shrill. That would be the only thing going on. You know, matter of fact, they had to make stuff up to get him.
Yeah.
And they didn't even get him.
Crazy, ain't it?
Well, that's what, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he doesn't want to believe, and he wants to stay in his bubble.
Yeah.
So,
there's nothing we can do about those types.
I have another, you know, on Facebook and stuff. Somebody posting something about, Trump favorable. And then my other buddy, you know, he gets on there. And, well, I'd rather have Joe than a pussy grabbing, you know, I forget whatever else it was, you know, whatever other narrative thing that he believed.
Yeah, that they use all
and,
the time.
Yeah, that they use all the time, you know. And it's not even worth responding with, okay, Trump talked about grabbing pussies. Biden did grab the pussies. I'm surprised you didn't know that.
Right. Yeah.
And that's only one of many things, you know. Like I said before, 95% of what people believe that's negative about Trump is gaslit.
Yes.
But they want to believe it, and you know, the media has beat us at that game, because all they have to do is say it as if it's true, and who's going to dispute them?
Right.
You know, anybody that disputes them is a conspiracy theorist. Oh, okay. All right. Well, I guess they're a conspiracy theorist then. Okay.
Yeah, and if there's ever a retraction, it's on page 74.
Right, yes. And it's one sentence.
Yeah, one sentence on page 74.
Seven or eight words.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. Well, all of this will be on the show at the end.
I know. I'll listen to it.
Yeah, people will be able to hear that.
Well, yeah, and when they do the podcast, sure.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Thanks for listening to the podcast, folks.
Yes, we thank you so much. All right. I'm gonna finish doing what I was doing.
All right.
Once again, great show, and once again, my condolences to you.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate
yeah.
that. Thanks.
Yeah,
I gotta now call my cousin out in California and you know, chat with him. He tried to call me during the show, so.
Oh, okay.
I was like, oh, yeah, I'm broadcasting a radio show. I'll call you after. So.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
All right.
Hit up your cousin. Tell the fam I said hi. Of course.
All right. Will do. All right. You take care. All right.
All right. Love you, man.
Love you too, buddy. Bye.
All right. Talk to you later.